Good afternoon. It's 1:34 p.m., December 6, 2018. We'll begin this work session on case numbers PU- No, wait, I have that wrong.
18-155.
PU-18-155. The XL Electric case on TCJA, Tax Cut and Jobs Act. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchak, do you?
I don't.
I'll turn it over to you, then Commissioner Crashes.
Okay. Well, the company came in, of course, on the 27th, and we talked about the settlement agreement. And I think some of the elements of the settlement agreement are, really, it's a trade-off. We've got the 9.7 million and change in terms of a refund of tax savings and the present rates. And really, it's weighing out, are the terms of the settlement truly beneficial to ratepayers, and the benefit is avoiding a rate case, or a rate moratorium for the next 2 years. Not to say that the company can bring in a rate case, correct, prior to the end of 2020. They could file ahead of time, but no interim rates or retroactive. Well, you can't retroactively adjust rates anyway. So, yeah, I don't know, and I'm trying to remember about the only thing that one of the points that I had a question on would be, it would be the 1.4 million on the renewable energy rider in 2019, correct? And then 4 million in 2020, approximately. Are those the correct numbers?
They sounded right.
For the rider, are you talking?
For the rider, because I've got a total of 5.4. I've got 1.4, 4 point, yeah, 1.4 million in 2019, 4 million in 2020. And then the 9.6, both years. So the company gets to keep the 9.6 from the TCJA savings under the settlement terms. And then the renewable energy rider would be impacted by an increase in the 2 years of 5.4, correct? For a total of 24.6. I mean, really, that...
Does it set an amount for the 2020 renewable rider? Does it set amount for that? Where would that be listed?
I don't know if I backed into that number. Or
somewhere before the...
I want to say that that number was provided, though. But I'm not 100%. But that was one of my big questions in all of this, was the renewable energy rider. Because then what was, can someone refresh my memory on what is the number in terms of if the settlement wasn't approved, and then it's not a certainty, but the company is indicating they would file a rate case with us, and it could be up to X amount. Of course, yeah, you can't have an assumption in terms of what would be awarded through a rate case, through a settlement agreement, or just a... So even though their number is here, even if you backed it down, that's the trade in all of this, correct? Trade-off?
I think staff had a talking point about how if the company came in for a rate case, they kind of assumed that the company would get, you know, 50% of it. But it was, of course, that's just trying to pull a number out of the air for a conversation. That certainly wouldn't be the actual number that came out of a rate case.
Right. It's a speculative, well, to some degree. I mean, we have history to go off of. Not generally speaking. What was the company indicating the revenue requirement?
It was in his memo. Or, I'll get the memo.
Or yeah, ask request memo. Would be?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I'm digging for it. But, oh, here it is. Likely an increase of approximately $15 million.
Yeah.
Well, if they were to file a case.
They would likely request that. And then they went on to say, so if they did that, maybe they would get $7.5 million mm-hmm. out of that.
So is the trade in all of this, I mean, is it? So if I got $7.5 million, let's just say it was in, it wouldn't be all for all of 2019 because at this stage of the game, interim rates may not kick in. Let's just say they did it right away. Interim rates wouldn't kick in until February, maybe not even until March.
Yeah, probably, depending how fast they could file it.
They could time it so that interim rates would kick in January 1st of that. Of
if
that
they were ready to file.
Year, yes.
Otherwise, it would take them a couple months to put a case together, I'm sure.
So what's the argument for a net of 15 if they came in on a rate case and had to justify and we went through everything versus the company keeping the 9.6 in both 2019 and 2020 and also then factoring in the renewable energy rider?
Wasn't the 9.6 on the renewable energy rider?
No.
No?
No. That's the TCJA savings. It's $7 million on the drop. I think it had up to that. $7 million, I believe, the drop on from 35 to 21%. And then 2.6 on the excess deferred income taxes.
Okay, the 9.6 was the earnings sharing mechanism. If it would kick in.
The 9.6 is what would be returned to, the ratepayers.
That's just TCJA.
Yeah, so it doesn't say that they're going to set their ROE on the renewable rider or anything at 9.6.
Okay, so what's the argument if I'm looking at this as, okay, ratepayers would get 9.6 if the TCJA savings are returned to them in exchange for potentially a $7.5 million revenue increase through a rate case, not to mention the renewable energy rider.
So the way it's structured, if they make more than 9.6% return, they have to give that back to the ratepayers 100%.
Just not to interrupt, but when I'm saying 9.6 million, not 9.6% return, because they're currently at, isn't it 10.25? And the settlement would reduce that to 9.85%?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So, no, when I'm saying 9.6, that's not return on equity. That's 9.6 million from the TCJA. So what's the, I guess I'm just asking, in your opinion, what's the argument on, boy, it's a much better deal for the ratepayer to
I think that advocacy staff make it that argument in their memo. They say, so the a year's worth of TCJA is 9.7 million, let's say. And then that's given back for 2018, mm-hmm. but they keep it in 19 and 20. And in the offset to that is that they don't come in for a rate case. And the advocacy staff was saying, well, if they don't come in for a rate case, if they don't, that might be worth $7.5 million annually.
Right.
Okay, so you're offsetting the 9.7
that they're keeping.
That they're keeping with the 7.5 that they might get. They might get more than that, or they might get less than that, but staff just made this argument that.
Here's what we're not factoring in this is that what staff believes is that they will come in and ask for the $15 million on top of the current rates, assuming that that's including the TCJA calculations. So that's it's $15 million on top of the rates as they exist today.
That is how I recall it and what I've been waiting to throw in. That's my recollection as well, that you're really talking more like $25
million. Right.
That is the expected increased request.
Does that puzzle any of you, considering that they had over-earned just a year ago? I mean, could it be that off in such a short amount of time?
The revenues we have on with that is, but there was a discussion about that as well.
Right.
At the informal.
But that's, I mean, that's a ton of money to be short.
It is a glaring factor slash question, because I thought the exact same thing. How can you go from an over earnings? I had asked you if at the informal if that was an anomaly, if there, and then was it a one off or was that the new normal? I don't know if you had an answer at the time, but do you know?
Well, not really, but, you know, they gave us a reason that I can't recall what it is now for that over-earning that year. And I think it was the way stuff got recorded or something in somewhere.
It's the way things were. It's the formula. Like, yeah. It really benefited North Dakota that year for some reason. I can't recall either, but it was.
The peak allocator, the demand allocator, I think it was.
Yeah.
They said it looked like it was an odd year, an anomaly, and we ended up being allocated less of the cost.
And, so
and therefore the return was higher.
So if it sounded like they thought that it was just going to be that one year, and it was the way it worked out, but it surprised them too.
So it's a one-off.
That's the way they see it.
Yeah.
The company does see it that way.
The short earnings were a one-off.
No excess.
Excess earnings.
Excess earnings.
Lower demand allocator.
Okay.
Lower cost allocated to North Dakota.
Let's go. Can we go back to the? I just want to make sure I've got this down right. So. If the 9.6, 9.7 from the TCJA went back to the customers, to me this isn't clear in terms of how this is written. The company would then come back and ask for an additional $15 million per year, correct?
That's the estimate.
No.
Well, it's that amount plus they'd be keeping the 9.7. Right. So you add those.
The commissioner's question was prefaced on if it goes back to the customers,
they
would ask for a $14 million increase. No, they would ask for a almost $25 million increase then.
Right.
If they get. Unless you're talking about just for 2018.
No, that's exactly
for
what
19,
I'm, that's exactly what I'm asking, because I don't think
they don't get to keep it, then they're going to ask for more. And if
they get to keep it. I mean, the only thing, you have two choices. We can approve this settlement or we can deny the settlement. My understanding, if we deny the settlement, they still will have to give back, but that's one of my questions, the 2018 revenues for the TCJA that were collected, because that was what we started in last January, right?
Yeah, I think
so. They'd still have to give that back. So that goes back to customers. And then the company is facing their current rates, which include the higher tax rate. And then what do they need on top of their current rates, including that current tax rate that is 41%? And staff believes that they'll come in and ask for $15 million on top of their current rates, which would be effectively 15 plus 9.7. Or maybe it's just the income tax portion of 7. I don't know where the edit comes in.
And I agree with you, except for one small thing I just want to point out. If we deny this, I don't believe that says that they send back this $9.7 million of refunds for 2018. We would still have to determine that and force them to do that. Otherwise, they would be sitting on it until the rate case is done or we take some other action. So this wouldn't just automatically happen, I believe.
I think there would be a rate reduction, too.
Really? You think it would back out of their rates?
The excess taxes would tell them you can't keep them.
For this year, or out, we take them out of the rates? Okay. I suppose, in which case, then they would...
Then they come in for a rate increase to try and get them back in.
Unless you don't address 2019 in a decision. If you just address 2018 with refunds and don't address 2019, I suppose is an option, then the rates wouldn't go down at that point.
You mean not address the high
the tax return
tax rate that's no longer set accurately?
Right.
So if we didn't change that in the rates.
That's basically what the settlement does.
Except for...
Well, the settlement is a decision for,
yeah,
for 3 years.
Yeah, that's right, Jerry. Yeah, it just continues that for longer.
I'm talking about an option where you're thinking about each year individually. 2018, commission could require a refund. 2019, there's several options. You could say, well, we're not going to address that at this time, but we will address it in 2019 sometime. And then at that point, you could order rate reductions or could order another refund for the year 2019. That's an option.
All of that. I mean, basically, the company could... That would maybe give us the... They could effectively just keep it and for as long as they wanted then. And I mean, unless they're over-earning or something, what would trigger our telling them not to keep it anymore, to lower their rate? Like, we'd have to go in and ask them for the decrease in the rates?
I'm thinking you just tell them to give back the tax money and reduce the rates by the difference in the taxes, and then they have to worry about how they're going to make ends meet after that.
I mean, that rider is pretty valuable to them. I think that that's an important component of this.
One thing that I don't have any doubt after hearing testimony is that absent the settlement, within weeks or a couple months, we're going to have a rate case. And so whatever things that we're talking about, well, we can tell them for next year to do this or that, well, that will be effective until they turn in that rate case, at which point the interim rates that they apply for, we wouldn't have a good legal case not to grant those interim rates.
Why?
So anything beyond this year is going to hinge on when they turn in that.
This still isn't quite coming together for me. This is the company's presentation. They gave us on November 27th, page 3. I think it was the 27th. Okay. Key settlement terms. And I look at this as if we don't keep the $9.763 million refund of tax savings and present rates, there will be a $14 million interim rate increase. because they're talking avoidance of a $14 million interim rate increase in Q1 of 2019. That does not suggest to me that that's on top of keeping the 9.7, because that's a key settlement
term. That 9.7 is just the amount that they would return in 2018. What, I mean, it might not jump out at you, because what the key term there is rate increase. Their current rates include the current tax rate, and that's what they would be increasing on top of.
So we would just assume then in 2017 they over-earned and they get to keep the 9.7 and the TCJA savings on top of that, and they would come in for another $14 million on top of that.
That's what staff is...
I know, but that's where I'm really hung up. It's like, wow, that is just a quantum leap in terms of a revenue requirement.
I'm not sure we got that right on them keeping the $9 million and getting another $14
million. I am. We asked about that. That was...
It seems to
I'm
me like
100% sure back, that that's what Victor believes.
Seems to me they reduce rates if we don't do this settlement.
We do reduce rates, probably, but they come in and want that plus more. That was, in my opinion, that was the whole reason, the value that the advocacy staff said in going along with this was that component right there.
That it will be.
We would be saving customers that amount of money for 2 years.
For 2 years, yeah.
If they just kept the TCJA, despite asking all of the utilities to figure out the impact of the TCJA.
Well, the difference is the other ones.
Well, it's
different timing rates on their rate cases.
The bottom line to me is a question of, is it appropriate for us to pass along this level of an effective rate increase without more scrutinization? I mean,
Have them come in for a rate case and really flush it out?
I mean, I'm not necessarily afraid of a rate case. I think it's been a long time with Xcel. They have a lot going on. And it might be an appropriate time to have one.
Yeah. Could be.
But what is the big benefit to avoiding one in your mind, Randy?
I don't know that I've indicated that I have any strong feelings on it.
Okay.
But,
no, I don't think you have.
I think what we heard in the informal from the company, but I guess I'm giving more credence to the advocacy staff position, as I recall it, is that based on the financial information that they've reviewed, including the confidential stuff, I think that there's some real concern that they would be pretty ripe for a pretty substantial rate increase here. And so doing this grants certainly a rate increase of some amount for the next couple years, for 19 and 20. I think it's pretty clear that then there would be another rate increase after that. And it would sort of take the shock out of doing it in a big step. And so, we have this year where they've had these rates, but they'll get a refund. And then the next 2 years, it's something a little higher, or not a little higher, but higher. And then probably a rate case, and sometime in 2021, it will, I suppose, be higher yet. I think the rate shock thing was one of the things that I thought was their better points, plus the fact that when we do these rate cases, we add a pretty substantial financial burden onto the company that also gets added to the cost for the consumers. And so if we do two of them in the next couple of years as opposed to one, then it's some savings too. So,
and that argument to me is something that I think is used to scare us. We shouldn't be afraid of the cost of the rate case if it's important, if it's how we get at our jobs. And we can't, with our two staff, we had no additional resources to spend on hiring outside experts to question in this case, we would effectively be granting a 2-year rate increase of about $19.2 million plus the renewable rider. Almost $20 million. So that's where I have serious pause. And the cost of every case is $500,000.
You know, we never know what they spend on
right.
their share of it. I suppose it can be determined if we dig in their books far enough, but I never have. But mm-hmm. I think the filing fee is $175,000.
Right.
And by the time we're done with consultants, I don't think we leave a lot of that.
Right.
But, I mean, what we've seen in other utilities, I think it's pretty, and the timing since their last case, I think it's pretty clear that when they file a case that the rates are going to go up some. This was a tax change. I mean, we can't just ignore it. And, like, if we did nothing here and just let it go about its way, it would be, I think, a poor record that's being created, and that they would be recovering costs for paying income taxes that they're not paying, but using it to pay costs that they've not have been allowed to recover.
Right.
And so we need to do something here, whether it's the settlement that changes the structure and grants them some additional, somewhat arbitrary cost recovery in exchange for no longer collecting that for the purposes of tax costs that they're realizing. So I don't have big heartburn over the settlement, but I am not I'm gonna take up the cause and fall on the sword over it either. I'm fine with doing a rate case too, I guess. But I do think, just based on the testimony in the informal hearing, like I say, especially from advocacy, that they felt, and I thought they made a pretty good case, that the settlement probably is a pretty reasonable deal for the consumers.
What are your thoughts on the fourth point on which is on Jack's
Jack's or
staff update? Jack's.
What's the date on that?
September 25th. Given our vote this morning, it's point number four is staff agrees to modify the renewable rider to allow recovery of non-North Dakota-based wind projects. I said you don't have heartburn, but I think that is a little different than what you said earlier this morning. You good with that, or?
Well, the settlement is the settlement. I didn't prevail this morning, so we'll move on. we can't say they get recovery, and then when it's time to do recovery, not give it to them.
So the settlement would cap their earnings over the next 2 years, so you wouldn't have to worry about giving them too much money.
So how do we know, though, that the nine – help me understand, then, if the $9.6 million plus renewable rider is not too much money?
Well, if it was, they'd report it, and then the over-earning – mechanism in the settlement would kick in and they'd have to give that money back.
Well, but maybe they're wasting money someplace else. I mean, that's the whole thing in a rate case is you look at more than just...
That's always a possibility.
You know, it's... What all is happening there, we haven't looked in depth since, what, 2013?
Something like that. 14? When the last one went in
2014?
Probably 2012 when it was filed.
It wasn't 12. We were here.
It was filed before we got here, I think, maybe. But we settled it. Yeah, we finished it. And then it was a three-year rate plan.
Yeah.
So...
So the numbers, this would just be a completely different set of numbers. So even with the TCJA savings, they would need an additional 15, but they'd land at 7.5. Just an estimation, a staff estimate of 7.5. Mm. Out of that 15 plus the 9.6. So that would be 17.1, which is a completely different number than we've been looking at, but it's still seven, you know, those two, it still nets out at 17.1 million.
A year.
A year.
And
plus whatever, does that include the renewable rider? So renewable would be on top of that.
And, you know, I don't have a clear recollection of this, but when someone said probably getting half of what was filed for, I'm thinking that was, you know, kind of just a offhand statement for purposes of maybe getting to some easy math or something like that for answering a question. I really hate to keep repeating this and leave this impression that whatever they settle for, they get about half. So they have to figure out what they want and then ask for twice that much. That's not how it works. And I don't recall the context of that statement, but
Victor's memo.
I just want to throw this out, that there's not a formula that they get approximately half of what they ask for here.
No, I think he was just going off of some of the past cases. MDU, for example, came in with a $13.4 million ask and wound up at $7.5 million, which is more than half, of course. It's more closer to that 60% mark. But I think there's some assumption that it's not all going to be granted because I don't know that it ever has, maybe way back when, but I don't know of any cases. So I think it's just a number to, I mean, they could have used 60%, could have used 40%, could have used...
It's like he's saying, well, let's say that they got half of it.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's not...
But no, it's a good point. It's not... and a signal to industry to ask for twice as much. Well, even at half, if the assumptions are correct, it seems to be, not even seem, it's favorable to ratepayers the way the numbers land. But at the same time, what you mentioned earlier about, there are a lot of moving parts to this. And are we better going through the rate case process, which I know it's a lot of work, but
to me it seems like the question is almost like, do you want them to show you the numbers, or do you want to rely on what was said at the informal hearing? If you want to go through the numbers and see how they can support this, that's a rate case. Mm-hmm. So the question to the commissioners might be, do we want to see the numbers, or do we want to just go with some estimates and ballpark stuff?
Yeah, it's a tough question. Staff is good. They're very good about analyzing and making recommendations.
Well, and there wasn't a lot of information provided, and I asked at least three times what's driving the cost, and it was, the most specific answer was, for the base rates anyways, the nuclear plants. And I appreciate that that's a lot of money, but what has been done, what does it mean, how long is it going to last, what's their plan long term? We don't know any of that because we haven't talked about it. Nor would we until after this is, until 2021.
Well, I think I'm hearing enough skepticism that we go to a rate case, probably. Huh?
I'm not 100% there. I'm just going back and forth on rate certainty through 2020, which doesn't happen with many things in life, too. But the trade-off is,
with all that wind coming on by 2020, we might be cutting these rates substantially.
Or without it coming on, we could be increasing rates substantially. Even more so, you don't know.
Never know that.
The savings from the wind plants would come through the fuel cost adjustment, I think. Yeah. So we'll see that regardless.
I've got it still.
Well, we don't have to decide here. This is just a work session, so.
Yep.
Anything else that?
Well, I just wanted to address, Randy's question of, are we headed toward a rate case? And myself personally, I'm not quite there yet. Here's one thing I will say, and that is, if we didn't approve the settlement, and then there was a rate case, and then consumers wound up paying more than they would have otherwise, certainly wouldn't want to land there either.
Well, we've already crossed that bridge.
Kind of on this topic, but a little bit different subject than what we've been discussing. I don't know if there's a substantial number of people that come in and have an apartment for a month or something and leave, and that they're sending out these small checks. I was shocked that they were going to send out checks as low as $2. I inquired. I believe the state sends tax refunds of only $5 or more, not...
It's five, yeah.
$3 or $4. I'm wondering if there's only a handful of those, then maybe this doesn't really matter anyway. But I bet you $3 checks, I bet you a significant portion of them get set aside until someone has time to go cash it or something, and it gets lost before it ever gets cashed. And I don't know, then, does the company keep that, or is that somehow factored in? What about the ones that are less than $2? Does that add to the amount that everyone else is getting because that wasn't used? I would be willing to, if we end up doing this settlement, have that up at like $5 and use the state tax department as the sample. It just seems like the cost of accounting and cutting checks and then the amount of them that are going to be lost and that $5 would be fine. I wanted to throw that out. And whatever we're going to do, it's not like it has to be, but there is some value, I believe, in having this done at our next meeting in 2 weeks, because I think one of the goals, as I recall, from advocacy staff was to have the nice cutoff date of the end of the year. Then we know if the settlement gets approved, how much that it's the 1 year of the TCGA that is getting refunded, and that timing of that they're recovering for their other costs, not for taxes, on the $9.7 million as well as the rider. And so unless there's a reason to delay further, I think it would be kind of nice if we could decide at the next meeting. But I don't think it's that means we can't wait if there's a reason to wait.
I agree. It'd be nice to tie this up this year, be done with it.
You want an order drafted for the next meeting?
To adopt the settlement?
It's your order.
I'd like an order drafted to declare the settlement and give
two
back.
Orders.
Give
two
back orders, the Jerry. 2018 savings and reduce the rates.
No, I asked the question of which order are you talking about? Which way? Maybe it can go two ways.
Oh, no, it would be whatever. I mean, I don't hear a consensus, so this would be your order because you're the portfolio holder, and so it sounds like you, yep. Should I guess it?
Well,
which way
we'll
I think you're going?
Think
or?
About it and talk to you in a couple days.
Probably not.
I'll get back to you.
Anything else for today? But would you check into whether, and would you, either of you, let's just say for a moment that the settlement were done, were going to happen. Would either of you object to having it a $5 minimum?
Where would they, below $5, where would all the revenues that come
from?
We
never heard that, what happens to the stuff below $2.
That only applies to people that moved away, right?
That ceased.
Yeah, because everybody else is going to get a refund in their bill. They won't send checks to everybody, if I'm remembering right. And just the ones that moved away. So,
how do they find them?
I don't know.
To send a check.
If they don't find them, they leave a forwarding address. That,
I know from my cooperative days, it's a huge problem. Every month we get all these checks that we can't find these people. Or
did you offer to take them off their hands?
Well, no. You know them. They're around the corner, and they never cash them.
Well, I don't know if anybody – I don't remember in all the refunds we've done over the years, if the company knows which ones are going to be less than $5 and we don't want them to issue refunds to those people, then maybe that amount of revenue should be part of what the other – customers get.
Well, yeah, it seemed to me that is the appropriate thing.
You could just do it to existing
customers.
It turns
out to be $10,000. It is proportionate.
I'm not opposed to it because I think trying to figure out forwarding addresses, we're not talking about a large number overall, but that can cost more than trying to get $2 back to someone, which then falls on current ratepayers.
And you get people that came in that weren't here back then, too, that are on the...
I'm okay with that.
...in the system now.
But I also don't want this to be a showstopper. If it's a company policy or something and they have no choice but to do it this way, then I don't...
I think they'd be more than appreciative of five versus two.
Okay. Anything else to discuss on the Excel case? Okay, this work session is concluded. Thank you.